Good day,
and welcome to another episode of Forge Chai Chat, a podcast about blacksmithing, bladesmithing, and everything in between, with a heavy emphasis on the Great White North. That's Canada, eh?
Happy birthday, Nick!
Thanks, bud. Thank you. Yeah, I'm officially an old man today. Yeah, 5-0.
Right on, buddy. Right on. Look, that's great. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that I lasted this long. Yeah, yeah.
Good work.
So today we've got...
Sorry, what did you say, Eric? I didn't hear you.
I said, keep up the good work.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Well, we'll try for another 50 years. I don't think I've got it, but we'll go for it. Yeah.
That's Eric Gindelsberger? Did I get it right there? There we go. Jeez, tongue twister. That's Eric Gindelsberger. Yeah. He's coming out of Squamish, BC. He's joining us today on the show. He's studied under his father, who is a blacksmith. So, Eric, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on. I'm super excited to talk about you because you dabble in the artistic blacksmithing, which is the journey I like to join. So,
right on. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Good to be here.
And Nick, man, what have you been up to this week, dude? Let's start off there.
Oh, what have I been up to? Starting off on Monday, we tore apart the little giant or Canadian giant power hammer, and I replaced the clutch material, and we did Babbitt. So that was a learning experience. It actually went fairly well considering we didn't have any damming compound, but we used tin foil and clamps, and we got it all poured in there, and it's running like a top now. It's hard and it's really controllable. It's like a brand new machine. It's awesome. So we got that done. And then last night we had the junior forest wardens come in for a blacksmithing demonstration. That was kind of cool. We had six junior forest wardens and five of their leaders come in. And we pounded out some hooks and we played on the power hammer a little bit. Everybody got to smash a little bit of steel. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And it was a real blast. And then as I'm talking to one of the leaders, I find out that he's the sales manager for this district for JetLube, which makes Decon, or they sell Decon.
It's your favorite damming sex lubes.
it's the damming compound that we needed for pouring the Babbitt. So if I would have met him last week,
oh no way! Right
compound. Yes, yeah. So it's kind of cool. Next time I have to pour Babbitt, I hope I don't have to pour Babbitt again. But if I do, thank you. There we go. I'm on the old good old H2O tonight. So yeah. What are you drinking there, Lando?
Oh, that's Tooks of Hazard, eh? That was supposed to be me and Justin on the cover there, but I think it might be me and you now.
Oh, awesome. I love it. Yeah.
I wonder if we're recording video for this one. Maybe I can actually show the video for once.
Hey, that'd be cool. And then everybody can see how ugly I really am.
Zoom for some stupid reason. Zencast is not working, so we had to jump onto Zoom here. Hey?
Anyhow, and then that brings us today. We just picked up a Green Mountain grill and we were putting it together just before we started the podcast here, so it's all ready to go.
It's at the new replacement smoker for the Pit Boss.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So we actually had a student come in and he wants to buy the old Pit Boss. So I'm going to take that out to his place tomorrow. And then Julie is going to look after the class. We only have four people in tomorrow. And then big weekend of, I think we've got 8 and 8 for Saturday and Sunday. So yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend. I love it.
Right on.
How about you, buddy?
Did you just crack a beer finally, Eric? Or have you been drinking all along? Uh-oh. Got some technical difficulties here. Eric's freezing up. What's going on? Oh, no.
Here's oh, no. He'll come back.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been up to this week. Hopefully he'll come back here.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Well, it froze up.
There he is.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
It's that mountain air in Squamish. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's something. I live in a pretty rural area here. I live like 20 or 30 minutes outside of Squamish, pretty rural. Squamish Valley technically is where I live. So sometimes the internet isn't, you know, exactly the greatest.
We got
you're making me jealous.
It's pretty awesome.
Making me jealous. Yeah.
Pretty good.
No
pretty
kidding.
Good living for the most part. Yeah. Sorry about that. I mean, it should be fine. I mean, it's no. Good all day.
What are you drinking?
What?
It's just a ginger beer. I don't drink booze these days. It's been quite a while.
Oh, good for you, bud.
Yeah, whatever. No jasmine beer. I just my wife drinks. Everybody I know drinks. I just don't partake these days. It's been a while, a number of years. So.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. No.
So, I'm drinking a ginger beer. It's pretty tasty. Island soda. I'll try not to make this noise. I'm on this big, heavy table. So.
That's what it is.
I don't have coasters in the shop, so. You know,
well, how uncivilized are you, man? No coasters in your shop? Like, honestly.
Man, am I making one or something?
Yeah, you should.
Right?
Adds to the ambience of the show.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm jealous about your. I hope I don't have to do Babbitts in my little giant power hammer, but when I do, or down the road, I'm calling you up for some advice. So.
Yeah, for sure. It was, you know what? It's a lot more daunting than it actually is. Once you get into it, it's not bad. Biggest thing is preheat your where you're going to pour that into. And then. Just
I'll look into it. I don't have to do it now. So it's fingers crossed that I just keep it nice and lubed. And so
there
far,
you go. Yeah. Well, let me know. Maybe I'll have to get my butt out to Squamish.
There you go.
There you go.
Great plan.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was cool. So I was out there a few years ago. If I would have known there was a blacksmith in the area, I would have stopped by for sure.
Well, now you know.
You do visitors or?
Totally, yeah, I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Totally have to
I need to get a branch out a bit more. I'm trying to do, I mean, I have space for a hammer in type thing. And, you know, I'm definitely need to collaborate more with Southern Smith. So that's definitely, people are welcome for sure to check it out. All my clients and they definitely, everyone gets an open invite to come out. Not many do. Actually, it's kind of off the beaten path, especially if where my clients actually are. It's a bit of a haul typically, like, so whatever. But yeah, shop's open.
Yep. There we go.
That's awesome, dude. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you started this journey about 15 years ago, you were saying, eh?
Yeah, like 07. I'm an avid skier, and I was skiing in Utah. I didn't grow up in Utah. I was just went there to ski for one winter and was there for 17 years. And at some point during that long season, I wanted to get back, you know, I want to do some changes in my life and get back, you know, my dad was blacksmithing when I was a teenager. So as a hobby, when he was in the Air Force, I'm a dual citizen. I got to confess, this is the great white North here as I'm a new Canadian citizen as of maybe 6 months ago.
Oh, no way.
Oh, really? Yeah, congratulations.
So, yeah awesome. Thanks. I'm super pumped.
Like, you're part of the greatest country on earth. Yeah, but, you're part of the greatest country on earth. Yeah, that's awesome.
My dad was in the U.S. Air Force and did that as a career, but he was really into blacksmithing as a hobby. And then he retired early and was able to blacksmith full time. And so I remember being a kid, just being around it, really interested. And so I guess right around 2007, I pulled a pin on my life in Utah at that moment and went to work for my dad. I knew he needed some help on a big project. And so I jumped in on a big railing with him and just really got into it. I thought I was going to go for like a year and see if I wanted to check it out. And that ended up being basically like 3 years or so. I worked for him, Eagle and Anvil Forge in Tip City, Ohio. And and a bunch of his buddies and SOFA, like the organization Southern Ohio Forge and Anvil is quite a big operation.
Right.
And
yeah.
Roundups and his buddies, you know, so kind of that's where I got the start for sure. So
nice. Yeah. That's a good start.
Larry Gindelsberger, he's my dad, and he's not able to blacksmith these days. He's still with us, but he's retired, which He's unfortunate with his health, but he's doing pretty good. He's hanging in. He's pretty stoked.
Such is the way life goes, my man.
Totally. Yeah.
You know what, though? I mean, he's got to be pretty proud that he passed on his knowledge and everything to you, and you're kind of carrying on the family name.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I didn't want to. I mean, when I was young, I wanted to be a fighter pilot too, but I didn't really like want to kill anybody. So, military wasn't necessarily the next thing for me. You know, I don't know, just maybe lack the discipline or whatever. I've always enjoyed the flying piece of things, but anyway.
Yeah.
So I followed his footsteps on the old blacksmithing piece of it. So
that's very cool.
He's stoked. It's cool. I always run like ideas by him and stuff like that. So he's still part of it, you know.
That's super awesome. Yeah. I wanted to ask that too. I was gonna say, do you guys still get to chat about it, and does he get excited when you talk about it with him?
Yeah, he totally does. Yeah, he's into it. And like sometimes you're not sure if he's following along exactly what he's talking about or I'm talking about, and then he'll be like roll out the procedure or something. It's like, oh, okay, like buddy's like right on point, you know. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
Cool. Yeah,
that's got to be pretty cool that you've got a good sounding board if you've got an issue that you're dealing with, and you know you've got that sounding board that you can ricochet off him and say, hey, what do you think of this?
Yeah, it's
got to be pretty handy.
It is really great. And also on top of that, like, or in addition to, is like I end up with like his tools, right? So tons of gear that I got from my dad, and half the time I'm just like these funky little weird, you know, how we all blacksmiths, bladesmiths build tools to make tools kind of
little much, jigs, right? And stuff. Yeah, like,
it's kind of what I'm doing today actually, but new project today starting, but I pick up something that I'm like, what is this thing for, you know? And like he made years ago for some one-off thing, you know, and then I finally, like, all of a sudden it clicks. Like, I was like, oh, I get it. Like, what was that for? I'll ask him, like, in a video call. So I'm like, hey, what the hell is this for, you know, or whatever. So pretty cool. So I end up, like, I ended up buying a lot of gear myself, but I got a lot of gear from my dad when he, you know, was able to pass it on. So, like, I'm holding on to a lot of this stuff. I use his tools daily, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Is that where the 100-pound little giant comes from?
Well, similar, not from him directly, but like the people he ended up, there's a man who taught him how to blacksmith, really kind of old school. He's been gone a long time, Emmert Studebaker. And so he has, he was longtime family friends of my family, you know, well before I was around. And so he passed on years ago. But he had a shop. He built this like kind of like a homestead shop on his property. He had a big machine business and process equipment company. And he built like this cabin to like a replica of exactly what a Studebaker blacksmith shop would have looked like or something, and rebuilt it log for log. And so he had this cool outfitted shop. In fact, that's where the original Southern Ohio Forge and Anvil was, on this property, the Studebakers. And so my dad ended up, when he retired, he ended up working in that shop. So I was in that shop the whole time. I was in that property a lot. It was really cool, great family, great stuff. And they had this little giant, there's an outbuilding there. They had all these old Studebaker wagons and this other small outbuilding. There's a little giant 25 pounder and a 100 pounder. And both were in good shape, but no one had ever really remembered. My dad didn't remember, or people we've talked to don't remember actually using them, but they think they work, but like they're plugged in, but not used, right? My dad would lube it up every once in a while. And then, so when I started my business
I know all about that, lubing it up once in a while.
So then I
I do so that.
I bought it from them. They're able, they sold it to me, which is very nice, at a nice price. And it was a gamble because I didn't know for sure that it worked. Like, I knew it could be rebuilt. I couldn't really test it too much. But at any rate, I bought the 100 pounder. And I brokered it. And my wife and I flew to Ohio, visited, and built a pallet and put it on the pallet. And my dad and I, we all kind of rented an all-terrain forklift to get it out of this building and into a semi-trailer. And then I flew back to Squamish and arranged all the brokerage and everything and unloaded it with a forklift and like just tucked it into our little laneway house. Like, we had a carriage house downtown Squamish. and it barely fit, like less than like a half inch clearance between the garage door.
Oh man.
So I squeezed it in and I was working with it in my first shop, which is in our garage downtown Squamish. So anyway, so I didn't get the hammer from my dad, but I bought that from close family friends. But everything else pretty much came from my dad, like a treadle hammer I got from him. He built it and I bought a treadle hammer. So I basically have two.
Tell me about your tool.
Anyway, it's been good. It's cool. You have like tooling on one and flat on the other. I don't know. I might have to sell one day, but it's just hard to, you know, when you have it. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's cool. I need, like, with the welder, I mean, I knew that I learned how to TIG weld from him, just from blacksmithing, not like pro welding, yeah. Just like never actually taken a welding course, I don't think. Anyway, so I knew I was going to eventually get this TIG welder. So when I started my business, I bought a MIG, about a good Miller 252 MIG. So now I have two different types of welders, which is great. Typically lean on the TIG for most of the stuff I do, but it's what I'm better, more comfortable with. But yeah, it's been awesome. I picked up a lot of stuff over the years now. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Very cool.
Very awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Built a track moving when I moved the stuff. Like, I bought a trailer, which is also kind of cool project because I drive an old truck, or I've always driven old trucks. And when I was getting his gear, I ended up buying like an enclosed cargo trailer, like a dual axle ramp trailer. And that thing has been so freaking handy over the years. So,
oh, yeah.
Because I was going to rent something to bring it from Ohio to BC, which wasn't cheap. Like, man, I don't want to spend well over $1,000 to rent something. So I ended up buying a trailer, like, along the way for $2,800 or whatever it was that I bought. So,
damn, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a good deal. Yeah, for an enclosed trailer.
Oh, yeah, super sweet. Been super handy, especially in this environment when things are just so wet here. Oftentimes,
Put
my gear inside, like, or not more the product, I should say, like when dropping off a product or what have you. You know, it's been super handy.
Yeah, are you one of the, like, for me personally, I hate the idea of bringing steel home in the rain or in the snow.
I've kind of gotten over that. Like, yeah, it's because I have a roof rack on my truck that carries 20-foot bars. Because I'm 30 minutes away from Squamish. There's a kick-ass, like, industrial supply, sells steel, Triton Automotive. So I'm really fortunate in that regard that, like, I don't have to go to Vancouver, which is an hour and a half away. I have to go down the road, and they have basically everything I need as far as, not specialty steel so much for, like, tool steel and stuff. That's a little bit different. But for the normal stuff, welding supplies and bar stock and plate, whatnot, it's
all
right there. So
I'll tell you what. I know where you can get tool steel. Do you know where you can get tool steel from? Maritime Knife Supply, buddy. And they'll ship it right to your door nice and quick at a good rate. And you can get all sorts of stuff. And sanding belts, buy 10, save 10%. You'll get one for free. And you can use the code FSCKILL, and then you can save yourself $100 on an Even Heat or Paragon kiln.
Noted.
Yeah. He's also a distributor for Broadback 2x72.
Broadback grinders.
Yeah. Great grinders. Highly recommend grinders.
I haven't looked them up too much, but I will. I got a press here over my right shoulder that was built by a really known great bladesmith, Lynn Valley Forge. I can't remember his actual name, but
Casey Valinsky.
Casey, is it? Anyway, so I didn't buy it directly from him. I bought it from a guy who bought it from him, and then he sold it to me. I think you can see the sticker. It has the Maritime Knife Supply sticker on it from when he built the press.
Oh, nice. Really cool.
Super great. There I never owned a big forging press until that thing, and I'm so glad I bought it. It's been really, and it's kind of a new tool, new thing to do, you know? Lots of.
It's amazing how those stickers travel around, you know?
It's so cool, yeah. So I need to look it up. I have an okay belt sander. I just bought one. I don't want to actually admit where I bought it from, but the price is right. So far, it's kicking ass, actually. So, I got it on eBay, and I spent $1,500 on it, and it's variable speed.
Oh, there you go.
And it's like working great. But I'm also not a bladesmith, so I'm not like cranking through it all the time either. Like, I'm not like giving her on the thing. So, I do want to do blades, and if I am ever doing more of that kind of stuff, I think it would maybe need to be replaced. But at this point, and what I could afford at the moment, it's jamming for what I do. So, yeah,
that's great. Awesome. Yeah,
but I do need the belts, obviously, and yeah, it's been super fun to have. And yeah, definitely need to look up maritime
knife supply.
Knife supply.
Yeah.
.ca.
That's it. Or .com. Either it works. Yeah. Zoom's telling me that we're going to run out of time in 3.5 minutes here, and we'll have to start a new recording or upgrade. And then I tried upgrading, and it's like not really letting me for some reason. So I'm just having computer issues left, right, and center tonight. We'll see if we have to restart here and see what happens. Yeah. But in the meantime, I'd like to kind of ask you, like, so you don't make knives. What you do is a lot of artistic style work and architectural style work, right? When it comes to the design of that kind of stuff, where do you really get the inspiration from? Where do you start on that? And where do you feel like that a lot of that even came from the beginnings of it? Like, where did that come from within you type thing?
Oh, interesting. So design, I mean, I come up with my own designs and I draw nature a lot. I mean, into the outdoors as much as I can, although my motif isn't necessarily floral, or I'd like to do more of that, and I haven't yet. But I guess I definitely get inspiration when I'm out and about and like doing cool things that I like to do outside, for one. And just looking up just other blacksmiths over the years, you know, there's a lot of people that I try to follow. Before online was great, you know, a lot of stuff just in books and online, just different blacksmiths that I follow internationally that I try to like, oh, that's a cool joinery technique. And, you know, and oftentimes what I'll do, like a newer design, when I'm picking a bigger project, I try to find a joinery technique or some detail that I want to learn about better or make tooling for. And I just make that happen. So I'm getting kind of paid to do that design, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna like work on like a wrap or a, you know, a way to like pierce or rip something or what have you, and just try to fold that into the design. So yeah, just all over. I mean, just kind of all over the place, just trying to look into other ideas. I think the other big piece of it is too, is I'm really into like knowing what the place is. Like if I'm building a fireplace set with a screen or something, like what does that person's living room look like? I'm not just interested in cranking out specific thing.
You want it to match, right?
Sure, yeah. Feng shui.
Yeah. I end up kind of getting a lot of clients that want a specific thing or want a specific like type. Like sometimes my longtime clients have a little bit of a string attached. So there's like, it's like, oh, I want you to do this, but this needs to be a little caveat in it, you know? So I haven't done too many things where it's just like, oh, you do completely you what exactly you want to do. I'm always kind of catering a little bit to make it fit with the client. So
fair enough, though. I mean, that's kind of to be expected in a bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's great. It's like just an additional challenge.
Yeah. You guys, you do have the time. I was going to say, do you have the timer on your side? Do you see what's going to happen here? You know what? At one point, Zoom, I don't know if it's going to do this, but at one point back in the day, it used to actually just kind of like forget that you're supposed to upgrade and would let you go continuously and pass that. And it what did it give us? Like 20 minutes or what? Like, what do we go? Half an hour. It gave us half an hour. Seriously? It used to give us, I thought it used to give a free hour. Freaking BS. Freaking Zoom's gone to shit. Everything's gone to shit nowadays. Again?
There we go.
Doesn't say. No timer. I don't know. Anyways, so Eric, dude, I'm kind of interested to also know along the path of this design idea and whatnot question that I had with you. As a kid, if you think back to being a kid, and this is a question I kind of wish I would have asked more people, but as a kid and now, if you look back on that, do you see any relevance to your thoughts and desires as a child to what you've developed into now as a blacksmith?
Huh. Interesting. I got kind of like when I was in high school, I guess, as a kid, somewhat of a kid, I guess. I was into architecture, so I was taking a lot of drafting.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. That kind of thing. And then I just realized that just wasn't a path that I wanted to go, like, whatever the time. It was like 6 years at university and math isn't my strong point. And all of a sudden, well, I basically went for my PhD in deep powder skiing in Snowbird, Utah and Northern Utah. So kind of got a little derailed with that more than anything. So, but I do all my bigger designs I do on CAD. Like I do Fusion 360, so 3D modeling. I'm not great at drawing, hand drawing. I wish I would have taken more art classes. If I can talk to my younger self, it would have take a business class, take art classes. My handwriting sucks, so that's why computers are great, because you don't have to read my handwriting. And same, like I'm not super great at drawing my ideas out, so I'm getting better over the years of using Fusion 360 to have a 3D model of what I'm trying to portray to a client. And then I build off of that shop drawing. Sometimes I'll get the DXF file to a machinist to cut me something or what have you, or bend, whatever, that kind of stuff. So it's easy to have somebody else do it. You can just email a file. So in some ways, that architectural class that I took, I think is quite helpful. Just the fundamentals of making, quote unquote, a blueprint. So that's been cool. And just the creativity of building something, like, so that's where I think, you know, I want to get more like, say, artsy and organic and things with my designs. And I'm working on a couple of cool things now that's going to allow that to happen. So, but I'm also feeling like a lot of my stuff needs to be, I guess the biggest design is if you're building a fireplace poker, it needs to poke well, like it needs to be the right length for that fireplace. It's not like, so exactly, you know, like you gotta have the right tool for the job. So I guess with the bottom line with a design of anything, if you're doing something that's not just an artistic piece, it has to function as a bottle opener. It needs to open a bottle well, you know. Like, don't get too hung up with the twists and the craziness. Like, it needs to open a freaking bottle of beer great, or pick whatever the design is. So I guess that's the fundamentals is, I mean, it's not stating the obvious, but you know, you can be surprised sometimes. So, bottle opener looks great, but something going on with it. Like, wait a minute, like I can't actually.
Yeah.
It's like you're talking about my journey in knives.
Yeah, it's like a knife. It's like, yeah, you're a bladesmith, and you can't open a letter. Like, come on, like.
Ding 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 ding. You can't call me a fucking bladesmith because I can't freaking sharpen a knife properly worth a damn, dude. I might have sold a knife, but I told her straight up, this knife is not meant to be a proper knife. This is made from a railroad spike. It's whatever, you know. And
you might need to sharpen this before you use it.
Yeah, if you know somebody who knows how to sharpen a knife properly, you might want to ask them to sharpen it. It's a beautiful knife. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. It would cut a letter open, no problem, and it cut like leather and stuff like that if you wanted to and stuff. But yeah,
there you go. Then it cuts just fine. Then
it wasn't cut. It wasn't doing the paper cut thing or.
Oh.
It wasn't doing that. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, you mentioned something, Eric. You mentioned that if you were talking to your younger self, you would have told your younger self to take a business class.
Yeah.
What about the business side of blacksmithing? What are your insights there?
It's a lot of work. just keeping up with. I mean, especially with these railings and things that I've done lately, and I have to I'm going to scale this down a little bit, but I had to carry like kind of a fat insurance policy because I'm working this like crazy expensive house. And then I have had an employee and some helpers along the way, then a full-time employee for a little while. And it's just like, man, it's just like just keeping up with just the stuff, like the basic fundamentals of business, you know, just keeping that going. And like, oh, then the design work and the, you know, all the stuff, you know, so it's challenging. So I think, you know, if someone was interested in becoming a blacksmith and wants to do this professionally, I would suggest to take a business course if you have that opportunity, because, or anything you're going to do that you're self-employed with, it's, you know, it's quite beneficial. I would still benefit benefit from it. It just, who has the time? Yeah. Now I'm all wrapped up. So, I mean, I think that'd be quite beneficial. And then also, I guess, stepping it up to make the money where you can hire someone, I suppose, to do a lot of the stuff, but I'm not quite there. You know, like it's always a tricky business, you know, like you want to do what I want to do is just forge. And I honestly, I'm not making all my money only forging. Like the last big project that you did was a fabric, and I'm not even like, don't tell anybody, but like, I'm not a welder, but I have done some fabricated railings for some really high end clients because that's what I'm doing. You know,
I saw your welds, man. Yeah. You're a decent welder, dude.
Yeah, I can make it happen. I just don't want to do it all the time. You know, like
you can fake it to make it.
Totally. No, I can do pretty good. And I also have had some people that I can hire and help along the way too. Like this last one, I did some Damascus. A person reached out to me in town who wanted to make some Damascus billets, and she's a bike frame builder in town. Danielle.
Oh, wow.
Person and Shown Studios, and so she reached out to me because she wanted to make some Damascus billets, and then she machined the billets that we created in my shop together, and she incorporated them into her bike frame.
No, which is awesome.
Yeah, Shown Studio on Instagram. So it was really cool, and she's a really rad person. So I was able to hire her for just this last railing that I did. She's an amazing TIG welder, as you would imagine to be.
No way, hey.
Bike builder, yeah.
She just came in for a few days to TIG weld this thing together, and it's pretty awesome. So, like, I'm certain, instead of having a full-time employee like I have had, I'm kind of reaching out to different people. Like, if I need a welder for a little bit, I got a couple people or a person I can reach out to for a little bit of this. And then I have another buddy for the install. We just did this install. It's great. I mean, it's quite a long time. I've been off and on this house in Haydenwood Whistler for like almost 2.5 years, different things like vertical lift fire screens that are all like counterweight, like deadly, like super fabricated. And it's cool. I mean, I don't like, it's not blacksmithing. There was no blacksmithing in that. It was just a cool project. And then it got me into this really cool home, and I did a lot of different stuff. So I have actually made fire tools for them, and I, you know, squeezed in a super modern house, incredibly beautiful design, crazy, weird, expensive home. But I did some blacksmithing. I made some fire tools, like some andirons and whatnot for them eventually. And so, anyway,
dude,
I guess that's
you got story. You got the guard for the fireplace up in the Ski to Sky gondola building, don't you?
Yeah. They asked me years ago to put that. That was a fun project. That's a cool, I love that gondola. So fun. I love backcountry skiing.
Right?
Anything. And that was a real cool addition into town. Arguably, though, the locals would say that the gondola is what made Squamish just blow up. You know what I mean? The thing that they came, the gondola went into town, and Squamish like just started blowing up as far as real estate values, and everyone wants to live here, and myself included.
Well, because there's nowhere left in Whistler. They won't let any more growth in Whistler. Isn't that how it is?
Well, Whistler's going off too. Whistler's great. I just love it here myself. I love Squamish. It's a great, great place. I loved it right away when I came to work and met my now wife and all these things. I just knew it was going to be I was surprised it wasn't going off then in 2010
when I was first. No kidding.
At any rate, like I just built a guard for the they have a wood stove in the lodge, and I built the guard around it so, you know, kids wouldn't go into the wood stove, and then log holders. But it's kind of cool. There's some strings attached. Again, these designs with like you do what you want to do, but there's some strings attached, kind of, which is I couldn't put too many holes in a brand new floor, and it had to be a gate. So it's like a guardrail, but not really anchored in. So it's kind of cool. I made these big log holders that help hold the whole thing together, like as a unit. It's pretty interesting how I ended up forging it and fabricating. It was all riveted together, and a pretty simple design. Also, the budget wasn't great, but I wanted to do something for it. So, like at some point, especially then, I'm just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to do some forging, even if it's like my hourly rate's dropping off because it's for the gondola, and I'm like, I'm new to the business. Yeah. You know what I mean? I want to do it. Go frick it! I'm going to do it.
It's something visible that people are going to see, and you know,
that's,
if your maker's mark is on it.
Yeah. I never actually got the plaque on there. I should have put whatever.
Oh, so
it's doing all right.
You know what though? Okay.
Put it on there. So
if you ever go to Big White and you go to their administration office, they have window screens that are just beautifully done, artistic flowers and freaking windy stuff. It's just an amazing window screen. And I asked who the blacksmith was that did it, and they're like, I don't know.
Yeah, and yes, they would probably, if you would ask the gondola right now who did it, they probably wouldn't know either.
What about putting like your touch marker on it or something like that?
Well, I have a touch mark on there, and I need to reach out to him. It needs a little bit of TLC. I did reach out to the new manager up there. Like, I feel like I need to like take it back to my shop after all these years and give it a little bit of love, and then I'll make up a little placard or something for it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, for sure.
I made some fire tools for that one. I do end up over the years done a lot of fireplace stuff. I like it. Like railings are awesome, but they also can just totally suck. You know, just because
totally right.
You're still married to it. Like what? Like a big railing, man. It takes a long time. Like if you don't price it right, or man, it can eat your lunch pretty quick. Really,
dude.
So,
I
feel like fire screens are really cool because you can change the motif to all these different types of homes and different, you know, it can be super rustic or be super modern. You can do all these funky things, and it's not like you're on this project for months and months and months kind of thing. So I like fire stuff. Seems to work pretty good for me. I'm branching out, trying to do a couple other types of things. I'm always a one-off. It seems like everything I'm doing is a one-off, and it's great because every time I'm like, oh, I need to advertise. Oh, I need to make my website and put a store on the website and start selling some brand new things. And I'm like, oh, I'm busy. I don't really have time to do that right now. I got to finish this table base that I'm doing right now. So far, fingers crossed, that's been good, but I'm trying to branch into more of that too, where I get a product line of a few different things. I've been working on the design that I want to like blast out 10 of these and 10 of those and 10 of those. Selling those where it's fun, like fun stuff to make, that it's not always kind of head scratchy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because everything new is, well, it's always new. It's like, it's a blessing and a curse is what it is.
Totally, dude. You're thinking of it from the business aspect at this point, not from it as the hobbyist aspect.
Right. Well, that's what it's got to be at this point. Like, it's like, this has to be making me money, or I have to pay the bills. And like, anyway, it's been a challenge off and on. And I'm always trying to find a way to make it more prosper, you know, like make some more money. But yeah, it's you know, it's just fine tuning it, you know, and just trying to get my process down. And now it's kind of cool to say no to certain things that I don't want to do too. I'm like realizing what time is like, you don't have all this time. Like if you're
doing
some of other things, then you're not getting better at the other things that you want to get better at. And those things,
You don't have kids.
No, thank God.
I'll tell you what.
You probably, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would probably not be a professional blacksmith if I had kids right now.
Juggling it all. I have to advise you, and I hate to be this guy that's like, you know what you should do, but welding business podcast or welding business owners podcast, that's what it is. You will gain so much from it. He's a newer podcast. He doesn't have a lot of episodes out, and it's kind of a quick listen. Every episode's like 30 minutes. He does it in a pretty broken down. It's interesting because he takes a conversation like what we're doing and he breaks it down into like 6 episodes type thing, or 4 episodes or whatever. Right. But there's a ton of value in there for guys like myself and yourself, where we're wanting to do the railings and the artistic style of work, because he's interviewed a bunch of guys that run businesses like that and talk about the difficulties of running a business like that. And that's the shit that you want to hear, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
it's been good. I really appreciate you, like the conversation that we're having now, and also that you reached out to me originally, because I mean, I listen to podcasts quite a lot. I mean, I listen to a lot of music, but I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm working in the shop. And it's cool to, I've never actually listened to blacksmithing podcast, and I'm like, oh, why not? Like, I'm listening to all these world podcasts, which are great, but I can't really do shit about any of that stuff other than vote.
Well, we will blow your mind.
Actually, you mentioned that you listen to music in the forge. What are you listening to right
now?
Oh,
god damn.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, gosh darn.
Gosh darn.
Oh, fiddle-dee-doo.
Okay. Today, I was listening and I did my homework a little bit with you guys, but this is a Canadian program. And we are in this lovely country, and I am in close proximity to Vancouver, and Five Alarm Funk is the band.
There we go.
No, Five Alarm Funk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Widowmaker is the song, I think. Something. Anyway, Five Alarm Funk. Yeah. They're super fun to see live. You got to see them live if you're going to see them.
Just play awesome.
Horns. I play the saxophone a little bit. They have a lot of horns. They're super fun.
Dude. My jam. Cool. That's it.
I like music. Been listening to a lot of Dark Side. There's a band called, it's a couple of DJs, I think, called Dark Side. Listen to some rock, you know, whatever. Listen to a lot of different things.
Yep.
Beauty. Yeah. What about yourself, Nick?
Oh, you know what? You know what you've been listening to?
I know what you've been listening to.
Yeah, okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hoser. Happy birthday to you.
Oh yeah. Happy birthday by Lando and Eric. That's my jam right there. Thank you.
I should have done my singing voice.
Yeah, no.
Happy birthday to you. Should have brought the saxophone to this job today, obviously.
Oh, you're a sax player. That's awesome.
I try to. I have over the years a bunch, but not. I don't play too much these days. But yeah.
I got the horn. I got my trumpet right here, brother.
Oh, bring it when you're visiting, man. I have a little horn section going.
Hey, excellent.
I have no idea how to play it.
Even better.
Just like Ron Burgundy, I have to play a mean jazz flute.
Yeah.
I was listening to a little Jethro Tull, some Aqualung. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Right there.
Oh, man, what have I been listening to? Shit. Rancid, Let the Dominoes Fall.
Oh, yeah.
That album. What's Another East Bay Night. It's the opening song on Let the Dominoes Fall. When I hear that song, it brings me back. My friend Colton had that CD and he popped it in on our ride up to Big White, and it did not leave the CD player for that entire 5-day visit. And every day it was back and forth up to Big White listening to Rancid there and back. And as soon as I hear Another East Bay Night, because it would start over at the beginning every time we got in the car, or it was like a little Suzuki Sidekick. The thing was fucking, he called it David, as it David Suzuki, right?
Oh my god.
So every time we hopped in David, freaking Another East Bay Night, and it was fucking pretty
there
good.
There you go. Yeah. Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, what kind of linseed oil do you use? I'm getting them all out of the way right now.
Well, I don't really use too much linseed oil, honestly.
Really? Oh, wow.
I don't know what even I have. It's a double boiled linseed. I just use it for my little, you know, the concoction that I have with, I don't know what type of linseed it is.
Oh, wow.
What should I buy? I'm looking for
buy De Twiller linseed oil. Yeah. Well, that's what you should buy.
And it's not just their double boiled linseed oil that you should buy, because their double boiled linseed oil is food grade. It's the best stuff that you can get, number one. It's like, doesn't have all these additives in it that the store bought stuff has in it. It's homegrown, essentially. You know, you get it from a family that's doing this stuff in Saskatchewan. They put the seed in the ground, they do all the things to make that seed grow into a beautiful plant, and then they harvest that plant, then they do the things to the seeds that turn it into oil, all at home. These are brothers working together, and in the long run, they take that oil that they get from that seed and they produce a few different products. Number one is the double boiled linseed oil. Number one, they're all number one. So you got the double boiled linseed oil, you got their flax wax, you got their Linshield. You got, dude, they've got a furniture wood varnish that they add a little bit of pine tar to. Oh, dude.
Good stuff,
I've been using that stuff lately on a couple of my foragings when it's hot and you throw that stuff on and it gives that smoke. You know how beeswax kind of gives you that like really scenty that little smoke? Oh, yeah. that's scenty, yeah. But that's scenty smoke, right? Dude, with that pine tar.
Suck
my blue. Tabernak. Oh, yeah. Tell you what. Yeah.
There you go. Well, we got the two sponsors out of the way there. That's
well, perfect. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
Look at you go, girl.
I need to get some Twilight linseed oil products. That's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could send you some. As a birthday present. I still have to send you the fucking stickers, dude.
Yeah. So did you seriously make me a rounding hammer instead of a crossbeam?
I made a rounding hammer, like knowing that I needed to make a hammer, and then I was like, shit, what did Nick want again?
Classic.
Yeah. This Nick isn't getting it. Nick Tobin's gonna get that hammer.
There you go. Excellent. Yeah.
I was like, hey man, you want a rounding hammer? He's like, well, I don't know, man. It's I at this point I don't really want to buy any more hammers. I was like, well, I wasn't offering to sell it to you. I was offering to sell. He's like, oh well, you can't say no to that, right? Yeah. And I kind of knew that was the boat he was in. I think we had spoken about it before that he is at a point with his hammers where he's like his collection's complete. He doesn't really. But you know what? Wall hanger. I don't know. Throw it on the wall.
Yeah.
Got my touch mark on it. It's my one of my firsts, right?
Yeah.
Paperweight? No.
Yeah, it could be that. Dude, so
you got to smash with it.
Did you see the post I just recently did on Instagram where I made another hammer and I did it at the same time while I was forging some copper stuff and I got copper melted all over the hammer? And
yeah.
When it was all said and done, I pulled it out and I was like, huh, took it to the wire wheel, gave it a shit ton polish on the wire wheel. A bunch of the copper stayed on. And I was like, well, cool.
It looks cool.
I'll leave it like that. I'll temper it, see how it goes. And you know what? If it works out and it stays on there, I'm going to keep that hammer for a while and play around with it, see how it goes, you know, do some destructive testing on it and see if it lasts. And if that copper stays on there, dude. Bada bing, bada boom, right?
You may have figured something out. That's awesome.
I finger a lot of things out. I mean,
I'm getting a drink delivery.
I saw that.
Awesome. Yeah.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers. There Is it just me or did I just see a head disappear under the desk?
Ooh, happy birthday to me.
I gotta crack another beer. I finished the two kids. I'm there fucking can you tell?
The two tukes.
She didn't hear me, right? Please tell me she didn't hear me.
Well, that's okay. I'm gonna tell her later.
Okay. Well,
fine. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, she's a listener to the podcast.
Yeah, so. She'll listen to the podcast. And...
She's not the only one who might have heard.
hey, here's another one for you, Nick.
Ah, beautiful, buddy. Thank you.
Come here in the eye.
Ah. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens.
So she said, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Back to the blacksmithing. You guys cool with that?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. What project are you working on right now?
Dude, what the fuck, man?
Sorry. God, I'm just curious.
It's his birthday.
Yeah, it is. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Take it. Do it. Take his question. Be like that. Poser.
So I just started. Well, I just started today, actually. I finally am getting back to blacksmithing. I was working on a Dodge Ram 2500 for a while. Way too much.
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
So I got some. I just did brakes and did all craziness on that thing. Bunch of work on the truck. Waste veggie oil, though. It's running on waste veggie oil.
That's so awesome, dude. Yes.
Anyway, back to blacksmithing is I'm super pumped. I have a great client that I've worked with for a number of years on Gulf Islands, you know, out in one of the islands off the coast here. And I'm making a table base for him. And it has like, you can see that template of a weird thing on the back there. That's like, it's on an island. So it's just, they have the slab of wood that they milled or whatever. It's like nice thick wood, and it has this really funky shape to it. And I'm doing a cool table base to it. And the caveat is that I have to have casters that are hidden underneath it. And it's going to be like that thing weighs like 150 pounds or something. So it's going to just funky thing. So stay tuned. I'm pretty psyched. It's heavy metal. So I just playing around today. I'm making a jig, and I'm not sure if the jig's going to work or if it's going to be leaning on the press. But it's the newer press to me. I guess it's been a year since I've had the press or so. But it's pretty thick. I'm bending, forging 3/4 by 1.5 flat bar, bending it the hard way.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you know what I mean? With all these arcs. So
Yeah.
So it's
very cool.
So definitely going to be ripping through some pretty good propane.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And also, it's a 42-inch tall total height. So these curves that I'm making for the legs, the four legs, are like 34 inches long or so. So kind of long. So this actually might – one thing I'm really hoping to build is to get back into the coal. I have a mobile coal forge with a hand blower, like super old school, right? Like the backyard version of a hobby blacksmith kind of thing. And I might need that because once I get a couple big bends in my propane forge setup as it is,
mm-hmm. I can't really get it
anymore. So I might be doing something. I really want to build a coal coke forge in the shop for purpose. Like I'm all about the propane for sure. Like I have
do you have access to coal?
I don't. I haven't done a whole lot of homework with charcoal, but there's so much wood here. Like, I mean, rainforest that.
Oh, dude, charcoal is so easy to do.
I think I have a bit of property here where I could probably get the charcoal thing going. I think I'd get a coal forge that I hope would be able to use charcoal in lieu of coal.
I've been told that by some people, charcoal is so hard to do because you got to do the pit. Dude, you know how you know how easy charcoal is to do? You take a barrel that has the snap ring style lid, right?
Yeah.
You puncture a couple holes in the top of the lid. You fill it with a bunch of wood. You build a bonfire. Throw that throw the lid back on and snap it closed. Throw that barrel on the bonfire. Let it burn. Everything inside there turns to charcoal.
Perfect. Yeah. I think that could be a good way out here. Just using what's around and readily accessible. Yeah. Having to like, blacksmithing.
You'll notice a big difference between coal and charcoal, though.
Oh yeah,
you're going to go through a lot more charcoal, and your nickname's going to be Sparky.
Right.
It sparks a lot. So
right. So then it's probably then I'll be buying coal probably. You know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you connected with VBA at all? Vancouver Island Blacksmith Association.
Well, a little bit. I have been a member. And I'm not currently a member, but I've never been to a meeting. It's weird. Vancouver Island, it seems like a whole mission to get there.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. And I have family there. So when I go to the Vancouver Island, it's like the wrong part of the island for their meeting. I will go. I look forward to checking out a meeting. When I do, the few meetings I've gone to is with Northwest Blacksmithing Association in Washington State.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to their spring conference. I have gone to two conferences in the past. 10 or 12 years. I want to do that more, but I'm going this May because it's pretty close. And I'm just going to go down and that's where I bought my last little bit of coal. It's from a guy there, but I would definitely, try to promote and buy from Vancouver Island.
Another group called Fraser Valley blacksmithing group.
Is there? I haven't seen that one. Yeah, because I know Fraser River Forge has a lot of. I've never met them or reached out to them yet either. I'd like to meet them, but I know they do a lot of cool courses and been doing it.
Yeah, they've got a group on Facebook, dude.
Oh, interesting. I'll take a look.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Cool. That's close to you.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they know where to get coal. I pretty much always have just used propane, but I think coal would be really fun to do. And especially for bigger pieces when you can't really get in the back in the board again after a couple of bends.
Yeah. Totally. There you go.
Yeah. So table base is what I'm currently working on. To wrap that long winded conversation. On a table base. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned you have a propane forge. Is that your main thing? Is it tell us about your forge?
What, man, dude.
I know. Dude, I'm sorry. Sorry. I can't help it. It's a question. I gotta ask him.
You even need me here? Should I just go?
Is it right there?
Oh, okay. Right on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little. My dad made it with his buddy.
No way. Awesome.
That's awesome.
And I have three of them actually. And sometimes I can put two together. So if I'm doing I can put them in line so I can heat like a full 36 inch long piece.
Dude,
like a crazy roll or something. There, or you make a sword or something, which I haven't done yet, but you really could.
Are they Venturi or what kind of burners on there?
No, it's just it's pretty old school. It just has a fan, blower, and just a welding tip for the orifice and just a butterfly type deal. It's really pretty basic, and it needs to be. I really want to build a forge, a propane forge proper, is what's going to happen. I have a nice table there. I'm following a couple people that do it. And I think that's going to be in the cards within a year. I think that's actually would probably be happening quicker than.
You'd go ribbon burner or would you go?
Yeah, I think I'd go ribbon burner. I haven't tried one, but it seems whatever's efficient, you know? So. Yeah,
a ribbon burner works pretty damn good.
I think I'd buy a good ribbon burner, and I think I'd probably build the forge myself.
Yeah, you
know. But yeah, I'm getting some ideas on
there. You go.
The limitations of that. It's great. It works great. But you know, it's only whatever. It's like 10 inches or so in diameter. So
yeah,
it's pretty limited. I end up using the torch a lot, and I use propane, oxypropane setup with a big.
Oh, nice. That's
something we need to talk about there, buddy.
Yeah.
Your oxypropane setup.
Yeah.
When it came to getting that setup, is it essentially the same as an oxyacetylene torch, or did you have to buy completely different stuff, or what did you have to get?
Full disclosure, I'm not a full certified gas person that I bought just the tips, you know, my welding supply guys at Triton here in town. Yeah. One of the owners knows his shit. He's a welder. And, so it's a different tip.
Yeah.
So basically it's just a different tip on the actual torch and that's it. The regulator is the same. As far as I know, everything's the same. My dad always used oxypropane. He never used acetylene. So I learned with the propane, and I figured since I'm running propane on everything, totally. So, and it's cool. I have one of the, I don't know what it's called, but the valve, you can kind of hang it, and it keeps a little candle flame lit and you strike.
Gas saver.
I have one of those. Got from my old man, and it's been great. So I have a couple of different tips. Mainly for stuff like riveting and different things that I typically use, I use just a saver. It's just a cutting torch tip, and that's enough for the quote unquote rosebud. But I have a monster, I have a pretty good sized rose torch that, you know, if it's a bigger piece, but you just end up freaking going through the oxygen pretty quick.
There we go.
I'm gonna beat you to this one, Nick.
Yes.
Okay. We totally did not finish the whole tell me about your tools segment, and we're obviously back into it now talking about the forge and whatnot, but tell me about your anvil, dude.
I have two right now. I have almost three. I have a probably like 175 poundish Peter Wright.
Nice.
And I have like 160-ish pound. It says Arm & Hammer on it.
Oh, yeah.
And Arm & Hammer is like straighter face. So I kind of I have them both kind of right next to each other because the Peter Wright has a bit of a dish over all the years.
Yeah.
Of being down. They're both pretty good shape. Like, but the other one's like dead flat. And I find that the curve in the Peter Wright is actually kind of good to like re-straighten stuff.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I use it to my advantage. Like sometimes you go a little bit beyond to make it actually straight. So it's kind of helpful. And the neighbor just gave me, a bunch of loggers in my neighborhood here. And he had this, it's like a 400 pound anvil that the horn is broken off. So it's just sitting on the ground right now. And I've just reached out to Grindstone to price what it would cost for them to professionally like redo it. Like my ideal, like my dream anvil is like a kind of a German style around 400 pound, you know, is what I really, and one of these days. So that might be it. I might like have them do that. They're great. I haven't really, I've seen on Facebook or what have you. And I reached out and it's going to be a chunk to fix it for sure, but it would be pretty dope. So we'll see how that all shakes out. I'm not sure if I'm going to maybe turn that into a striking anvil that I can kind of dial in myself and not put any money into it and just save the dollars and get, you know, buy another anvil at some point. But that's what I have for now. I haven't used the big one yet. My main one is the Peter Wright. It's like, that's the one that's bolted to the floor. That's where I pretty much hit all the time. And the other one I can move around a little bit. Yeah. The shop's kind of made so most things don't move, but they can. The power hammer doesn't move.
Pay for my flight out there, and I'll put a horn on that anvil for you.
Oh yeah. Well, that'd be a little less expensive than I got a quote from.
There you go.
Cool. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Actually. I was thinking about doing like the old YouTube university and brush up on my stick welding and figure out how.
Any idea what brand of anvil it is?
I haven't really looked into it. I have no idea what broke it. It must have been a freaking enormous amount of force. But it was probably at a logging camp or something. It was around heavy machines. So it was definitely came out of the logging industry in the area here.
So in this group that I'm part of right now, which is where we have a group set up for the Canadian Maple Waffle. It's a little bit of a waffle that's going on for Brad Millman, and because he broke his leg, smashed his hip, it broke in a bunch of places, and he's like down and out. And he was like, he's already living on like next to no means because he's on disability and whatnot, and only works when he can, which is minimal hours. And you know, he makes knives to make money or whatever, and obviously now he can't make anything for a while, he's out. So we set up this fundraiser for him, if you would, and a waffle, the Canadian Maple Waffle. And where was I going with that? I totally just lost myself. Wow.
I'm not sure.
Well, you're with the group, you're talking about repairing the anvil originally.
Yeah.
But that's awesome that you have this group that you're trying to help your buddy out with. This
phenomenal.
That's actually the biggest
takeaway. Thank you. That's where I was going with this. In the group, we're chatting about anvils. That's what
it is. Yeah.
And we're all talking about anvils. And I told them about a 458 pound Peter Wright that I used to own. That I got it for freaking a deal, dude. And I ended up flipping it for a good, damn good price. I sold it for $3,200.
Yeah.
But it was on an original stand as well.
Oh, interesting.
I probably should have sold it for more than that now that I look back on it. And the whole reason that this whole conversation came up in the group is somebody posted there's one for sale in Toronto right now for $3,600. Which is approximately almost the identical anvil that I sold, but the one that I sold had a ton of sway in the face of it, and there was also a crack starting at the horn. And I full disclosure to the guy that bought it from me, I showed it to him. I was like, I see there's a crack right here. There's big sway in it. And he's like, I don't care. It's going in a showroom. And I was like, okay, not a problem. Wow. He's like, take my money. And I was like, I feel like I should be taking more. Damn it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Apparently there's a brewery just south of Red Deer called Field and Forge. And they have a massive anvil. So.
Oh, cool.
That might be it. It's the showroom. So yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, that's a good spot for it.
I'm gonna have to go take a look at that thing and see if it's a 450-pound Peter Wright with a crack in the horn.
Like
a big sway. Yeah. Take a picture and send it to Lando. Hey, found your anvil.
Found it.
If I'm not mistaken, it's here in Winnipeg, still at a place called Eastside Collision.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Could be wrong, but the guy that bought it from me, that he told me that's where it was going, was into their new showroom. So
there you go.
Which, by all means, I was like, you know what? I don't care what you do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you told me you were gonna go and blow it up, I'd be like, no, no,
no. Yeah, that does make me a little bit sick when I watch those anvil, you know, launching. Yeah. You ever see those?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, that makes me a little sick to my stomach watching those things blowing up anvils. What kind of crazy world is this that they're blowing up anvils? Perfectly good anvils, and they're blowing them up. Perfectly
good anvils. I had this thing when I moved here, like, you know, oh, you're a blacksmith. Oh, da da da, man. There is a big rail yard back in the day here, and they, you know, they're no longer. And apparently, like freight train side, like full of tongs for going to the scrap heap. I was like, oh
wow.
Dude, what are you crazy? Like,
no kidding.
I need to up my tong game. Every time I'm just like, God, I need to sit down for a couple of days and make some more tong.
Look for a salvage yard in the area and see what they got.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You got a swage block?
I do not. I'd like to get one. I do not have one. No.
Nothing for a swage block. Wow. Nothing. No. What about
everything that I use for drifting? But no swage block now.
What are you using for like bottom tools? And you got a bunch of like hardies and stuff like that, or
yeah, I have a bunch of hardies. I have a bunch of stuff I made for the power hammer and made for the press that, you know, kind of fit the bill for a lot of things. So yeah, no swage block right now. But I've made a bunch of different things to kind of make my way around it at in some level. But for sure, would like to get one. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, there's a place not far from you in Vancouver, Thompson Metals, and he deals in some really good tool steel and whatnot. You might be able to get a good deal through him on finding a nice chunk of tool steel that you could utilize
He's in Surrey. Yeah.
Right on.
And just if you just any tool steel in general, but not just for, you know, if you're looking to make like a block or something.
He's got pretty much any kind of steel you want. Yeah. So.
Cool. Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Right on. We'll have to look that guy up.
Yeah.
Yep. No swage block. Not yet. One of these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're kicking around. You know, they're easy to find. I mean,
yeah.
You know, but yeah. So.
Yep. What about using a lot of top tools and chisels and stuff like that? You got a good selection of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely have a lot of that going on, especially stuff I've made and my dad had. So yeah, tons of chisels and top tools. So
how do you store your chisels? What are you doing for storage of chisels?
I just have a toolbox. And I just put them in the drawer.
Okay.
A little bit disorganized, but somewhat method in the madness, but no set way of storing it.
I look at Randy McDaniel for inspiration when it comes to organizing my chisels, because if you ever look him up on his Facebook, Expressive Metals.
Uh-huh.
Actually, dude, what the frick? What's your freaking Instagram account? What is it? EG Metalworks?
EG Ironworks. And also EG Ironworks, .com or .ca bring you to my new website.
There you go.
No.
The store isn't quite there yet, but a lot of my stuff.
They freaking missed out on that right off the hop, eh?
Yeah, egironworks.com, egironworks.ca.
This is what happens when Lando does the introduction. That's because I wanted to say happy birthday to you. That was the main thing. I was like,
okay. Well, yeah, you were excited. I get it. I get it.
It's what happens when I get excited.
Yeah.
Ask my wife.
Yeah. Just flipping through your Instagram, Eric, holy crap, you make some really nice stuff. That
high that, end, dude, right?
High end. Yeah, that dragonfly that you made. Whoa, like that yeah. is beautiful the, stuff.
Yeah. I haven't done a whole lot of sculptures and I want to do more. I'm fingers crossed I have a proposal out for an art grant for a local public art thing. So hopefully I just want to do more stuff where you can just like make it happen and not have to like be within the constraints so much or whatever. But yeah, I'm pretty psyched. One of the coolest things I think I've done, like, which is a challenge and super fun. It's not necessarily my style so much, but the chandelier, which has all the candles.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The thing, like it's has pulleys built into it that it raises and lowers. It's a pretty freaking cool project. It took.
Right.
But like I like playing with copper, I like steel, I like the texture. I think you know the texture of steel and copper. I just love all those things, and copper is super fun to work with, thicker copper. And so yeah, that was a cool project. Yeah. To incorporate the pulleys into it, so you can lower it onto the table to clean it, or change the candles, or light it. And I made a candle snuffer for the guy.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
And then like it's on an island, so the way you hold the whole chandelier up is with a cleat, like a cleat on a dock, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They live on an island. They come pick me up in their super awesome boat and super killer guys who are the clients. And yeah, I love working there. I just did a pizza oven cap for them.
Are they like, pirates?
And, like, stainless steel and copper.
Are they pirates? You said they're super killer people. Are they pirates?
Yeah, they're not pirates. But, you know, I don't ask too many questions about what my clients actually do for their money, you know? Like, doesn't matter, really.
How does that conversation come up? Like, excuse me, sir, how do you make your money? Oh, I'm a pirate.
Yeah, exactly. There's a house I was working on, like a really high-end house in Caden Wood Whistler, like, the high rent district there. And
yeah,
I was always working for like the general contractor or working for the So I was involved with the house, but never actually. Then you meet a client's rep who's another architect who's not actually the client. He's just a representative of the client who makes decisions on their behalf. It's just one of those kind of deals. I'd never been in that situation, and so we finally they're done with it, and I finish this railing, and right before the client and his wife show up. And he's actually like, now I meet the homeowner for the first time and we have an actual conversation. And I wanted to say that. It's like, dude, like, what do you do? Like, you know what I mean? Like on the blueprints, it says something like Cayman Islands Limited is there. You know what I mean? Like they're from the UK. That's... They have like a lot of money.
OnlyFans. OnlyFans. Yeah, it's got to be OnlyFans.
Anyway, I think
that's what it is.
I think I have more work lined up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. OnlyFans page.
There you go. Yeah, he found the website. He's like, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's keep doing this another fire screen. I was like, sounds like a great idea. Let's get right on it.
When I look up at the wall behind you, it looks like you got a couple scroll jigs going on up there.
Oh, yeah. That's like, me and Larry, those are a bunch of scroll jigs. He did a
Holy smokes. Yeah. How many do you got up there? What is that? Like a good.
I don't know. Like two, four.
Two dozen?
Man, maybe. Yeah, maybe a dozen. Yeah. There's a significant amount of scroll. I don't do tons of scroll, which is interesting these days. But like we did a big, really cool on the website, I think is on there. The one thing I did with my dad, like that I put on my website, but I gave him props. Like I did this working for my dad on my website, you know, like Eagle and Anvil Forge. And it's a very classic French Moroccan kind of motif-y thing. Curve railing. It's really
the curves.
And super curved staircase, like curved newel posts. Like it was kind of a bitch to build. Anyway, it was like super cool. We ended up making a bunch of the jigs for that project. And we did those together. And he taught me, like, if you're going to do more than, say, three things that need to be the same, you just make a jig. Just make it. It makes so much faster. So and that's what I'm doing today. Hold on. This is for the heavy metal that I'm working on, but this is, you know, like part of the curve.
It's pretty beefy
that I'm doing. That's pretty heavy, hard of hardy too, yeah. Nice. So
and yeah, So I'm a big fan because these are just four things, and I know it's going to be kind of a bear to move anyway. So I'm going to try to find a way to clamp, and I have a really big heavy bending.
Can you give can you give a description of what you just showed us there? Because like, no one gets to actually see that, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. This is the more radio piece. I mean, it's a big jig. It's a big curved jig. Yeah. It's 3/8 by 1¼ flat bar forged to the curve that I want. And it's welded to a piece of 3/8 by 3 flat bar, approximately 16 inches long. So it has and a reinforcement in it. I'm going to put a lot of force onto this heavy metal that I'm bending.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that is has a 1-inch hardy hole or piece of metal welded to the bottom. So it goes in my hardy hole of my anvil, which is bolted to the ground close to my forge so I can get this as hot as I freaking can. And then
your anvil bolted to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Smart, smart. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can put a lot of force into it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I know it's actually smart. I'm pretty proud of this because, like, I didn't want to have to move things around. I don't know. I built the shop. My wife and I built this building. And I didn't want to, like, have studs sticking up out of the concrete anchor. So I have a female anchor, female threads in. So if I have to move my anvil around, I unbolt it. There's no studs sticking up through the concrete.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I could drive a car over if I had to do something because I only have one garage door on one side of it. And the other side is framed for a garage door, but ran out of cash. So it's just like a man door and windows.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so if I had to, the anvil is bolted to the ground. Yes. And that makes it quite handy for the big scrolling jigs where you can just move into it.
So how do you do the scrolls when you're bending around that? Do you got yourself a nice big bending fork or?
Yeah, this one, it's big. It's like 5/8 by inch flat bar, probably 4 feet long.
Get some torque on that sucker.
Yeah, I have like four different bending forks. This is kind of like the full beefy one. So
Ric Flair is going to be in Winnipeg this weekend.
The Nature Boy.
Cool. I don't know the guy. Sounds what is he into his forks?
Oh, you don't know the Nature Boy,
Ric Flair from WWF?
The Nature Boy. Woo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that much, I guess.
I grew up on that stuff as a kid. If it doesn't show,
man. I remember when I was little, we used to have Stampede Wrestling out of Calgary, and they'd play it on Saturdays, I think. And I remember being a little kid sitting on my grandpa's knee reading the comics and watching Stampede Wrestling. It was awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Huh. Cool.
So it's the only thing you can remember, right?
The only thing. Yeah, the only thing.
My memory shot, but I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 And grandma's Krenz Kuga. Oh my God, that was so good. Yeah. Yeah. She was an awesome cook. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Now that I'm 50, I'm getting all sentimental, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. I'm on the downhill slide. I'm on the downhill slide now. So,
I'm older than you. So,
no way.
Right. Yeah. Almost 53.
What? 53. No fucking way.
1970.
Holy cow.
What the fuck?
Whoa. Yeah. So what's your secret?
No kidding.
Bathe in the blood of a virgin? Like what are you doing?
You look like you're in your 30s, dude.
Yeah.
Well, you don't see me. It's a filter on the camera or something.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, filter. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Just do shit, man. Keep doing shit. I don't know what the secret is.
It's a clean shave. The clean shave does a lot, man.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time walking around in the mountains, you know, do a lot of physical work.
I feel that so much because in the last 5 years, like I had a car accident that fucked up my neck. And ever since then, I haven't been the same person. And it shows because I used to be super active. And ever since that has happened, I haven't been as active, and I can feel it. It shows, and I'm like, I'm getting this whole like, a knowledge basis of like being active, getting proper sleeps. I haven't been getting proper sleeps again because of the pain that I'm constantly in and stuff, right? So
I sleep pretty good these days. I'm trying to get more sleep, but yeah, I don't know, man. I just try to keep, I would be a lot better blacksmith if I wasn't an avid skier. I love skiing, man.
That's fair. Like, but you're in Squamish. Like, come on. Like, that's like.
I mean, I put a lot of time into blacksmithing, and it's cool. Like, my productivity is going to go up here in a little bit because the ski season's winding
up.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's a lot of.
So there's when the conditions are right, I'm just like, okay.
Stay off.
Maybe we'll take Wednesday off, and I'll do it, you know? So.
What's the rule of thumb? How many inches for a day off?
Yeah, well, there's usually like the 20 centimeters rule, you know, and that's pretty good. You know, but not every time. It depends on what's going on too. Like, it's all
depends
on what's going on. Yeah. Like I didn't do anything all last weekend. I was under my truck in the shop, and it sucks. Yeah. Like I'm. Yeah. Anyway, like it started. I know how to work
the breakdowns.
And it's hard to justify sending my truck to a mechanic when I have the shop that has room to do it, and I have the tools.
Yeah.
Dude, like,
yep, I hear that, man.
Saved $1,000 or something over the weekend.
Well, Lando went through the same thing here. Well, what was it? It was last winter. Like, it was what, November ish.
What's that engine on when my the truck?
Engine? Yeah,
that was last summer.
Ouch. Was it last summer? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Beginning of summer was went out for lunch break one day, went to go pick up lunch, and you know, go into the restaurant, grab my lunch, go back out to the truck, go to start the truck, and it kind of starts funny. Does this like weird thing where it's like, rah, 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 rah. I'm like, what the fuck? The fuck is going on with my truck? Try that again. Try it again. Rah, 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 pop, pop, hang. Whoa. That didn't sound good.
Expensive lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for sure $13,000. Fuck.
Yeah. Gross.
Hey, but you know, whatever it happens, you know, trucks break, life goes on.
It's just a piece of steel. It
would help if I didn't drive it like a fucking maniac all the time, but it was also a Dodge Ram, so Dodge.
You know, have that issue. You know what? There is a statistic out there that cops will pull over a Dodge Ram more often than not on suspicion of drunk driving.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So
I can't imagine why.
Bunch of booze heads driving the Dodge.
Just trucks in general.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, well.
Male truck driver suspicion.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Whoa! We're getting that political.
No, that's not.
Is that political? That's not political. Is it religious?
That's not. No.
Oh, it's not racist either, is it?
No, man. It's really kind of sad that we said something like that and we didn't hit on one of those things.
I know, especially with you being from Alberta and everything,
right?
And it's your birthday. Like, you can't fucking nail one of those down, dude. What the fuck?
No, I guess I'm not a racist misogynist asshole. I'm trying my best, but I just can't do it.
I can't pull it out, honey.
No. Whoa. I've never pulled it out. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Can this go south?
It's going to go south real fast. Yeah.
Eric just went red as F.
Yeah. Hey, Lando, remember a few weeks ago when we were at the Red Deer Sportsman Show, we had some fans of the show up at the booth?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Danny Gallant and his buddy, let's see here, Josh Keeley. Danny Gallant.
Did you remember that, or did they reach
out to you? No, he reached out to me.
Nice!
That's
awesome that he reached out to you. I'm happy to
hear that. Yeah, he has so he's a hobby knife maker. His forges two hand blade works, and Josh Keeley is an aspiring knife maker too. So, yeah, Danny, here's to you, buddy. We're having a brew just for you, man. There you go.
Cheers.
There we go.
No one else is bought any more stickers, man. This is pathetic. What's going on, people? Where's the support?
We need to pump that up a little bit. I'm gonna work on that, buddy. I'm gonna work on that.
I want a sticker.
I am doing a thing. You can buy one, but I'm doing a thing. Anybody and everybody that has been on the podcast previously, I need to reach out to everybody that's been on the podcast at this point. It's going to be a lot of work, and it's going to cost me a little chunk of change in all the mailing and whatnot. But it is what it is. I should have been doing this all along. I need to do a care package to all the people that have been so kind and so generous to give their time towards Forge Side Chat.
A 3-pound rounding hammer? Just kidding. Come on.
I don't want your... Hey, you know what? That's fair. I mean, hey, if you're gonna throw it out there, I mean, hey. You know, you miss 100% of the punches that you don't take, right? So that's right.
This motherfucker.
No, I'm sorry. That was one.
We'll talk afterwards. Though you can place an order after.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
A little sticker package and maybe a little something extra in each envelope, just to
a little say thank you. Little something something.
Well, the thing that I found out though is, so I went, I tried to send you a bundle of stickers and it came back. Oddly enough, I sent something to LaRoquez that was slightly larger in thickness as far as the envelope's concerned. It didn't come back. He got it.
That's weird.
Now, when I went to the post office and I was like, why the fuck did I get this back? I don't get it. It's just an envelope. She's like, she grabs it from me right away. She's like, oh, it's a little heavy. I was like, what? It's a fucking, there's like 40 stickers, 50 stickers in there. Like, no, that's not that heavy. She's like, oh, I don't know. She pulls out this big plastic board. She's like, oh, it doesn't fit through this slot. And I'm like, what is that slot? And she's like, well, this is the mail slot. I was like, no. That mail slot that you're putting it through does not exist anywhere. I've never seen that mail slot before. The one below it that's like over an inch thick, that's what's on a mailbox. She's like, no, it has to fit through this one that's like a quarter inch thick.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, for fuck's sakes, all I had to do is spread the stickers out in the envelope and it would have fit through that motherfucker.
It's racism against Albertans. I know. That's what it is. It's got
to
be.
That's because it was going to Ontario. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Canada Post, Ontario. Yeah. We're getting political.
Yeah. Yeah.
Political with Canada Post?
Canada Post, man.
Did I tell you my debacle with Canada Post?
No.
So I was labeled as the guarantor on my child's passport. I get a phone call one day from a gentleman that is speaking broken English, and he tells me he's calling from Canada Post and he wants to know that he's speaking to Novak Lendon. And I say, instant suspicion rises. I'm like, I don't know. Who are you looking for? Novak Lendon. I don't know. He's like, is this you? I don't know, man. Who are you? I'm calling from Canada Post and I need to verify that you are Novak Lendon. And then I kind of went into this, like, you know what? Fuck you, dude. You're one of those scam artists guy. I'm not telling you who I am. I'm not giving you any more information. I'm sorry. Goodbye. Click. I get a phone call from my wife. Did you just freak out on Passport Canada? What?
No.
He said he was from Canada Post and he like couldn't even speak English properly at all. Like, it was fucked up. Like, I don't know what to say, man. Like, I don't know. She's like, that was a guy from Passport Canada and he was about the guarantor for Emily's passport. We need that. I was like, oh no, dude. And it just turned into this whole like freaking debacle of like having to try to get back into touch with Canada Passport, them telling us like, no, your husband's an asshole, we're not dealing with them, you need to find somebody else to guarantee your passport now. And
no way, come on.
You cross the border yet?
That's another story. That's another story there.
Never mind.
Yeah. I'm glad you're in Squamish and not in Utah, I'll say that much.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. Me too.
Yeah.
Good place to be for sure.
Those back to the jigs, if you don't mind. Back to blacksmithing, please. The jigs.
Yes.
When it comes to the center of the jig, is the center of the jig taller than the rest of the ring, or how does that work for twisting it around that?
It's a good idea to do that. Like sometimes people do put like a higher tab, like at the front of it where you'd clip it. It's a lot faster if you have a helper to actually like help, like, you know, you typically, you know, you taper the thing in the power hammer, whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to do the beginning of the, say, a scroll in this case. And then where you clip the tip that's been tapered to bend it around, it's sometimes better to have it taller, but all those are just straight flat bar. Pretty much. I have seen people, maybe a couple of them have that little, like just a little bit of a flange up there. For the most part, it's just flat bar. So so that's where the treadle hammer comes in. Or even I've been using the press a lot. The buddy who made the press that has a big platform just to flatten things out again. But the treadle hammer is so fast. Like I have a pretty big die. It's like 5 inches by 5 inches. Like is the flat dies of the treadle hammer.
Nice.
So the jigs that I make, they're just flat bar. They don't have any higher part or lower part. It's all the same plane. And I bend it into shape around the jig. Oftentimes it's a little bit wonky because of things getting out of the way of the rotation, and that's where you just like quickly bring it into the treadle hammer, smack smack, and you're flat again. After, you know, so if it gets a little bit twisted as you're making the jig, it's easy to even if you have to do another heat, just heat the whole thing up again and just hit it a couple times with a treadle hammer around the anvil, whatever, and just take the kind of slight twist out of it. So
right.
I don't go through the specialty of making out that higher part in the jig. Typically they're all just flat. Right.
For those of us that are rolling with Steve from Badlama Forge, if you haven't picked up on what he's talking about, this is the treadle hammer that Steve was always talking about. The treadle hammer.
Yeah.
It's just a foot hammer.
Not to be mistaken as a treadle hammer, but the treadle hammer. No, Steve, he mistakenly called it the treadle hammer one time. I won't let him down.
There you go.
They're pretty fun. Pretty cool tools, I gotta say.
I think I need to make one, dude. Like super, like I cannot swing a hammer like I used to ever since that car accident that I had, right?
Yeah, it's helpful when you're doing detailed work too, like to get in and precision. It's almost like having a striker.
Yeah,
but you know, it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not quite as social. My dad made one, and then I bought one. I bought one from Fay Tools in the States before I was new. I don't know. Is there a Canadian supplier who sells treadle hammers? I don't know. But my first contract. I bought my welder. I made my first fab table with that welder, and then bought the treadle hammer. And
there you go.
Before I was able to purchase the power hammer on my first gig, so
I'll make a treadle hammer for somebody if they want a treadle hammer. I'm making tire hammers right now. I got to make a couple tire. Well, I'm in the process of making tire hammers. So,
oh, cool,
yeah.
But we're gonna run out of time right now, and I gotta head out to Mike D's B Day. It's his fourth.
It's a downside.
You're just kind of lame in general, dude.
Yo,
no, he's not. It's his birthday.
Yeah, you can't call me lame on my birthday. That's mean.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Especially because it's your 50th birthday. Now I feel like
that's a big one.
Now I feel like I'm like your kid kind of thing. You're just lame. Oh.
This morning I showed my wife this thing. It's a fireplace, and then somebody had a decal of a bomber dropping bombs on the fireplace, and then, you know, the fireplace is all lit up, so it looks like the bomber is dropping bombs. And yeah,
right.
So I said, you know what, someday when we have a fireplace, can we have this? And she says no, and I said, come on, it's my birthday. So I've been pushing it all day.
As you should.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you're gonna get the CNC machine soon, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah, I do need to get moving on that. I thought, you know, we should actually move into the shop before I start buying more tools.
Yes.
So, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I feel like after you're in it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Just tell me about it. We moved into our shop just over 2 years ago, and it is packed now. So we're lucky. The guy that has his shop right next door, he's moving out. So we're going to take over that shop as well. Great. And put a door between our two shops.
Perfect. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. I should have offered you this. If you pay for my flight, I will come out there and I will help you. I'm a specialist in 5S.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I will show you how to reorganize and set up your shop in a production style manner that will make you money.
Yeah.
Cool. There you go.
You know what? I'm gonna have to think about that. I like it. Yeah. Very good. All right. That might have to be a thing. Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways,
outside of that, I have to get going. Yeah. 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 Unfortunately, I would love to keep chatting. Honestly, man. I really would. This is,
me too.
My jam right here, talking about artistic blacksmithing, but,
another time perhaps.
Yes. Well, when I come to visit, right?
Yeah.
I got
break the horn.
Well, before we go anywhere, there is one question that you need to ask Nick Fabry's question. You got to ask him Nick Fabry's question.
I appreciate you going down that, man. Thank you. What is your favorite hammer, Eric?
Oh, my favorite hammer. What is it? My favorite hammer. You know, it's one that I never actually used, but it was a gift from the Studebaker. So it was like, it was a flat hammer that Emmert Studebaker had. And I have it on the hammer rack, and he taught my dad how to blacksmith, and he did a lot for blacksmithing over the years. So that's just a flat, probably like a 2.5 pound hammer that I very, very rarely use. I don't know why. For some reason, that's probably my favorite hammer. So
that's cool.
It. Yeah. There we go.
Very cool.
Don't have to use your favorite hammer. My favorite hammers aren't getting used. One's sitting right up here. And if you, when I send you your sticker, you'll see the hammers on the sticker. That's on season two sticker. The hammers on there. Yeah. That was made by DK Smalls. It's got the hip maskus, where it's the wrought iron body with the 1045 forged faces.
Hipster Damascus.
That looks sharp.
And then I've got another one in the shop that's a double cross peen made by True North Forge that's just immaculate in design. You can't get enough of it. So, a couple wall hangers.
Right on.
Yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to finishing. I started one with a buddy, and it's going to be a 3 pound rounding, and I haven't finished it yet. So, that will be my favorite. It's just not quite there yet. Well,
there you go.
One of these days. Hopefully, next time with that.
Is it your first hammer you're making, or what?
Yep. I haven't made a hammer before, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an addicting process in a way.
No, I'm pretty psyched. Pretty psyched on the hammers. Hammers, axe. I haven't done an axe yet. You know, the basic stuff. Yeah. I'm trying to branch out. Darn.
Dude, yeah, for sure. Look at you. You got to grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to grow, girl.
No, no,
you grow, girl. Yeah. Sounds like that's what my wife says to me. You got to grow, girl. No, not at all. I don't know where I got that from. Anyways,
I don't know.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Eric?
I think so. Yeah.
Do it.
You and me?
Eric.
Wait.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't start it, I don't think.
Yeah, you can. You can do it.
Go, 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 go.
Okay. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that rocked. Yeah, sure.
I mean, we should have let Nick have it because it's his birthday, I guess. Right?
We should have. I needed a second. I wasn't the good lead on that one, so.
No, it was good. It was good. You know, you're an adopted Canadian. Now you're
official. Yeah, you know,
what? I'm not gonna let this slide. He had a practice session beforehand.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
I told him I almost had to pull. I almost had to pull his citizenship. I was like,
"Yeah,
I'm from Canada Post. I'm gonna have to pull your citizenship."
Yeah,
he said it wasn't on my citizenship test. He said I'm booted.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Was the question "What is a hoser" on the test?
No, it wasn't quite there. But
what the fuck? We need to get in touch with Canada Post.
Yeah, you really should. You should really let them know what you think.
Yeah.
I did, and they put me on this banned list.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive. The Canada Post is in charge of passports and citizenship.
Yeah, it's a pretty good operation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I said that wrong.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That was on the test, actually.
Yeah.
There a difference between Citizenship Canada and Canada Post?
No.
I'm just being a dick at this point, aren't I? I don't know.
Oh man, no, man, this has been a really good.
You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm about to head to Rumors. It's a comedy club here in Winnipeg, they are. If you think we went into freaking territory that you shouldn't go into, just you wait. I'm about to really head into territory that you shouldn't head into.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Eric. Thank you. Thanks, Lando.
Great meeting you guys.
Yeah, great meeting you too. You have to, you know, we definitely have to have another conversation soon. This has been really good. Yeah.
Thanks for turning me on to Blacksmithing Podcast so I can get educated as I work. So,
there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Feel free to chat with me more on that one because I can turn you on to a lot more, dude.
Right on. Yeah. Cool. We'll do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope you enjoy your dinner, buddy.
Thanks, pal. Catch you later.
Bye.
Peace.
Peace out.